wow. Last time I was here was the first Sunday of Advent. And maybe some of you were here and you can remember my 5R in the end of the sermon. And I promise this, I said, next time I come here, I'll begin with that. My 5R, return to something. If you can remember at least two or three, then you will pass my tests. It's all right. Okay, when I was told to preach this Sunday especially, I was so delighted and thankful to God, especially for giving me another opportunity to share the word of God with you. So I was originally scheduled to preach on the naming of Jesus. And I was so genuinely excited about it. I was so happy. So I had prepared my sermon outline and shared the Bible reading with Jason. And without checking the website, the church website, simply because I was not here last Sunday, so the theme of naming of Jesus deeply interested in me, and I was so happy to preach on that topic. And within Africa context, naming carry deep meaning. It carry identity and destiny. So I was particularly looking forward to reflect on the naming of Jesus. And obedience of Joseph to agree to name Jesus, to be called Jesus. But however, when I later checked on the website, I realized that this very sermon had already been preached last Sunday. And the preacher covered it so well that I honestly couldn't have said it any better. So I watched the sermon to the end. So I quickly wrote to Jason, my brother here, and to the church secretary, asking them to disregard the Bible reading that I had sent earlier. And I promised to forward a new reading instead. So with that in mind, my brothers and sisters, today we turn our attention to fresh God's word, trusting that the Holy Spirit will still speak to us in a new way, in a new living. Our reading today comes from Micah 5, verse 2 to 4. So turn with me to Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to 4. And then Luke chapter 1. God promises begin in small places. As we come to the fourth Sunday of Advent, we stand very closely to Christmas. The lights are up. Plans are being finalized, and expectations are high. Some expectations are good, but others are little values. Yet the Bible invites us today to slow down and look again on how God chooses his word. Many times throughout the Bible, my brothers and sisters, God does not usually begin in a place of power. He does not start with strong or wealthy or influence people in the community. Instead, again and again in the scripture, God worked through small places, through ordinary people, and quiet obedience. As for our reading today, Bethlehem, a small town overlooked by the people of Israel, and Nazareth, an ordinary village with little reputations. Yet from these places, God brings salvation to the world. He used small village, he used small town. So let's begin with Micah promises. The hope comes from a small village. Micah chapter 5 in verse 2. The prophet Micah speaks at a time when God's people were anxious, and sentenced, and under pressure and threat from their enemies. They longed for a leadership. They were looking for someone to provide security. They were looking for peace. And later, this was fulfilled after 400 years. So there is a silence between Micah and the Gospel of Matthew before John the Baptist came to prepare the highway prepare the way, repent. There was a silence of 400 years between Micah and the New Testament. And that's why Micah 5 verse 2 said, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, through you are small among the clan of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient time." So Bethlehem was not a capital city of Israel. It was not a center of power, as we all know. It was a small, easily ignored, and insignificant or not important town in the eyes of the world. Yet God said, "Out of you will come for me." This tells us today something really important, my brothers and sisters. It tells us that God is not limited by the size, and God's work is not limited by the statues. God is faithful to his people through his promises, regardless of the size of the town, regardless of the location of the place, as we hear today from Ray about Manango. You never know, the promise of God might come from this little town, blessing the whole community that are surrounding this beautiful place. So Bethlehem seemed not because it doesn't matter whether it's small or big, it was impressive in the eyes of God. And God chose Bethlehem. The Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 6 in verse 1, Lord said to him, "How will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him as a king over Israel? Fill your horn with oils and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king." So right away from the time of David, Bethlehem was chosen, that the Savior will come from little town. Today, God is reminding us, his people, we as his people, that he has not forgotten his covenant and his promises. Many people today feel like they are very small or overlooked. They are unseen at the workplace. Some people feel today they are unheard in the society. Some today feel like they are unnoticed in their effort, either here in this church or at workplace or in our community. Micah reminds us today, brothers and sisters, that God sees what the world ignores, and God can hear what the world cannot hear. Faithfulness is not about fame. It is about God use his promises. This brings us to the nature of the promised ruler. The nature of this king who is about to come. Bible said he's a shepherd and peace bringer in the book of Micah chapter 5 verse 4 and 5. Micah continued, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of land, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the end of earth." So this is the nature of the king who is about to be born. He will be a shepherd. What do shepherds do? Bible said he will stand and provide security. The sheep will be secure, will be protected, and will be fed, will be guided and lead. This ruler will not dominate. He will shepherd. So the image of shepherd is deeply said in so many verses in the Bible. But I will share with you three important passages. The writer of Psalm 23, the well-known Psalm in the Bible. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Although I walk through the shadow of death, I'll fear no evils." So the shepherd, the shadow of death. You all know how shadow follows us until an object obstructs the light. The shadow will always connect and follow, similar to death. So we'll never be afraid, even if death follows us like a shadow, because our good shepherd has done it all for us. Same thing to Ezekiel 34 in verse 15. Lord said to Ezekiel, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declare the Lord. So he said, him himself will come down and tend his sheep. So brothers and sisters, do not be anxious about anything, Paul said in his writing. In prayer and petition, bring everything to God. So he will come and tend his sheep. Jesus said himself in John chapter 10, in verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. You see, he have done it all. So our Alpha and Omega have done it all. He's the good shepherd, and he laid down his life for us to live forever. So as Micah continued, in the end of verse 5, in chapter 5, he said, he will be our peace. This is what we need today. We want a peaceful community. We want a peaceful home, a peaceful church. We all seen what happened last Sunday. It was shock and devastating. But in the midst of suffering and confusions, God always provides his divine peace that transcends all human understanding. So, brothers and sisters, in a world marked of anxious, anxiety, conflict, uncertainty, and emotional distress, Micah reminds us that true peace does not come from the system or strength, but it comes from God. The shepherd is present today. Well, we can see our doctors when we are sick. We can see counselors and psychologists when we have something going on in our brain. But Bible said, he has assured us in Isaiah that the wonderful counselor will come. So Jesus is our wonderful counselor. So brothers and sisters, stand with me now to Luke chapter 1, our reading today, in verse 26. Luke now shows us how Micah promised begin and unfold 700 years ago. This is now the time of the birth of Jesus. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Nazareth, as I said earlier, had a little reputation. It was such a small town. I think our Manango was bigger and well known than Nazareth of that time. And you can see what Nathanael said to his brother Philip in John chapter 1, verse 46. This is some 33 years later after Jesus was born. When Nathanael went to Philip and told him about Jesus and his miracle, Nathanael said, can anything good come out from Nazareth? So the whole society have that stereotype of, you know, discriminating people and the villages and town. And I myself, and most of you, I believe, have experienced that too. People from the north or eastern suburbs sometimes find it so hard for them to come here in our west. But the promise of God can occur no matter where we are and where we live. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a small town. God sent his angel not to a palace, but to a home, not to a ruler, but to a young woman called Mary. This brings us to God's grace meet ordinary people. As we sit here today, we are not sons and daughters of King Charles, and I believe there's our prime minister is not here in the church today. So we are all ordinary people. Gabriel greet Mary. And in that greeting, there's something paramount, that's something that we want to see. Greeting, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So Mary was in trouble. What sort of greeting is this? Bible said in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. my brothers and sisters, Mary's reaction is honest and human. She's not doubting God. She is processing something unaffected, something no one expected. I could imagine if the angel or the voice come to you and greet you the way he greet Mary. I assume you will also be like Mary. So I want to tell you, God often meet us in ordinary moments. He meet us at home, in quiet prayer, in our daily responsibilities. Faith does not begin with confidence, but with listening. With listening. As Romans 10, verse 17 say, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When Samuel was called in 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 9, the voice came to Samuel, and Samuel was confused about the voice. Where did this voice come from, and what is the intention of the voice? But Eli told him, next time when the voice comes, say, Lord, I am listening. So Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. These are the words of Mary. So what is required from us is to listen and be obedient. This brings us to the bigger picture of God's plan. What is the big picture? The child who will reign forever is the big picture. What is the purpose of this child? In our next slide. Bible said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. This is part of my last week's sermon. The naming of Jesus carry very important element that we need to understand as Christians. Naming in ancient world was so important, you cannot just give names like our day today. In this generation, we just Google or look up or check with ChatGPT, what's the good name I should name my child? It's not like that, and it was not like that. In our Africa tradition, our children's names carry certain meaning in the family. And the one who's still alive, the oldest person in that family, has to be the one naming the child. So every time we have a baby, Rebecca and I will not look up on the internet. I will call my mother. She's in Brisbane, and she will give us a name. This is to honor her as a part of respect. And all my children's names carry a certain meaning. So the name of Jesus, to be called Emmanuel, carry a meaning. And to be called Jesus carry a meaning. So Joseph obey the commands that come from God, and he named his son, or the son of God, Jesus. Faith does not begin with confidence, my brothers and sisters. As I said earlier, it begins with listening. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, and you will receive. So the big picture here is that the Son will come, he will call Jesus, and will save people from their sin. And the angel Gabriel continued, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And his kingdom will never end. So Joseph listened to the command, and he named Jesus to be called Jesus. This brings us to our point number 6. Mary questions. Faith seeking understanding. What does that mean? How will this be, seeing I am a virgin? Luke chapter 1, verse 34. I think this is not unbelief, it is trust asking for clarity. How this could be possible? For a child to be born, two people have to come to contact. Well, in our time today, there is IVF and other sort of things. But again, two people have to come together to have a child. So how could this happen? Mary asked. Then the angel Gabriel continued, the Holy Spirit will come on you, for no word from God will ever fail. This is a big thing for us. No word that come from God will ever fail. So the birth of Jesus was foretold some many years ago, and this is now the time to be fulfilled. We often have some time as humans, as Christians, as we sit here today in this church. How will God work this out? In our situation, we always have these questions. How will the future unfold? Brothers and sisters, today our Bible is teaching us that God's faithfulness does not depend on our understanding. You don't need to know everything for your faith, belief. This morning when you wake up, you start your car, drive to attend the church, you had faith that your car will bring you here. You have faith that the other driver will stay on their lane coming here. So same thing apply. Have faith that God is there and he has called you to be his child. What is the response of Mary? Mary respond, I am the Lord's servant, for your word to me be fulfilled. Mary does not receive all the detail about this child. She doesn't have to understand everything. She just received God's promises about the child. So faith, my brothers and sisters, look like this. I would like to share with this as my conclusion. Proverbs 3, the book of wisdom, Proverbs 3, verse 6, 5 and 6, say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So what does that tell us? Trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. Hebrews 11 verse 1 said, now faith is confident in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. So that is the definition of faith. What we hope, but not what we see. Although we cannot see God, he can see us, he can hear us. He knows all of us by our names. If he can count the number of hairs on our head, know that he knows you. He knows you by your name. So what need from us is obedience, to obey and have faith. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. In my conclusion, prepare our heart for this Christmas. We are some 2 days away. As we sing that beautiful song before about the birth of Jesus, he has come to be our friend. He has come to be our helper, our shepherd. As we prepare for Christmas, Micah and Luke invite us to trust the God who walk through small villages, small town, who choose ordinary people, and who bring peace through manifestations. So, brothers and sisters, the ruler from Bethlehem announced in Nazareth, come not with force, but with grace. And Bible said, for nothing will be impossible with God. In this Christmas, I encourage you to have faith. There's nothing impossible with God. For those who are still struggling, asking many answers about their faith, about their relationship with God, I want to encourage you. Come closer. Remember my R from last sermon, 4 weeks ago. Come closer. Return to God in this Christmas, and there is nothing impossible with God. Jesus said to his disciple, yes, with man is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. I don't know what is going on in your life as you come here to church today, but nothing is impossible with God. For those who are sick, for those whose relatives are not well, for those who want to achieve something, for those who are thinking about what to do. Retirement is coming. Where am I going to go? Where I want to live? Where's my family? Where's my children? Bring everything to God and do not be anxious about anything. The ruler from Bethlehem, announced in Nazareth, has come to save us. So let's say this like Mary. Let it be to me according to your word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word.